Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Everyone within this room, I ask that you would be the teacher, that you would guide, lead, and direct, that you would stir us up onto the things of your heart. I thank you for this opportunity and this group that is gathered here before you. And just pray for your blessing on this in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Nehemiah 13. I'm going to eventually get there. Nehemiah chapter 13. And today, this is kind of a beginning of a two-part series. I'm going to speak this also next week, and I have my notes about half done. And so I'll have all the notes for you. So if you missed something today, something I said or shared, it'll be in the notes next week for sure. But my call on this ministry and myself is a call of being reformers. And what I mean by that is that God is calling many of you, young and old, to be messengers of reform. You probably been aware of many different reformers in the past. You think of Martin Luther, Jonathan Edwards, D.L. Moody. There's just so many people that have stood up and stood for truth. And part of being a reformer is to be able to stand for truth when it's very, very unpopular. And I believe that many of you in this room, many of those that are on vacation, I believe that you're called to be reformers. I believe that our vision statement even speaks about being a frontline kingdom culture. Well, if you're a frontline kingdom culture, that means that you desire to walk and live and move within the truth of God. I think it's going to make a lot of sense to you over the next 2 weeks as we begin to talk about the house of prayer, the temple of the Lord, how important it is to God's heart, how important it is for prayer and worship to be supported day and night, night and day in a region. I think you're going to understand, just like I'm understanding, that you're living in a time like no other time. And you're living in an age to move into the age to come. And so what is happening right now, globally, I believe that when people set aside their time for prayer and worship and supporting and staying close to the Lord, being a burning prayer furnace, when that happens, I believe that light begins to arise in a region. Most of you would agree this morning that the Lord said that darkness and light are going to arise. Isn't that correct? At the end of the age. And so we know that that darkness is going to overtake regions. It's going to overtake cities. It's going to overtake nations. And where there's light, where there's worship, where there's prayer, where people are standing in the truth, the light of the Lord is going to arise. So you could go ahead and say this. Michiana is in the balance. Michiana is in the balance. Indiana is in the balance. Our nation is in the balance. This region right here can be a region of light because of our position in the Lord and our prayers and our worship and what it means to God. What it means biblically, and what it means to this region. We can enjoy the blessings of being a people of light because of worship, because of prayer, because of people that are standing in the truth, and they really learn how to love God and be loved by God and love other people. So what I'm sharing this morning is an urgent call of safety, that we would be safe in the place of worship and in truth. And we would be positioned in the place of worship and truth. And for the sake of our families, our little girls and our little boys, that if we are a people of prayer, of worship, there is going to be light in our midst. And that's what God is saying to me. That's what he woke me up. Finally, I got it about halfway through the night. He didn't want to let me sleep. And I thought I was just restless. And as soon as I opened my Bible, I thought, oh, it's you. You ever been there? I'm sure you have. Okay, sorry. I was a little grumpy. But he understands. So, you and I need to be faithful witnesses of truths. the truths of the Lord. You and I need to be reformers. There's so many definitions of a reformer, but it's one who changes things for the better. It's one that brings about a situation to improve, to make changes, that people no longer behave in an immoral way or self-destructive manner. Corrections of evils and beginning to walk in the fullness of truth. There's much more about reform. But we're to be those people crying out about the truth. And many of you know that's going to get harder and harder and harder, but it should get easier and easier and easier as we stay in the place of intimacy with Christ and in His Word. The Scripture, all throughout Scripture, describes dynamic advances in the kingdom of God that will bring transformation to societies, that there's going to be continuity in the way that we live our lives moving into the age to come. What I mean by that is that we're going to be a people of worship and prayer and truth, and we're going to begin to move into the age to come. A lot of people say that there's the end of the world is coming. And some of you have heard this before, but some of you are new and never heard this. But there is no end of the world. God loves His creation. There is an end to this age moving into the age to come, which is the millennial reign with Christ. That's going to take place. And right now, if we can be a people of prayer and a people of worship, we can begin to have a continuity with what's going on in heaven and what's going to be happening in the age to come. Do you get that? Do you understand that? See, so God is trying to get us to be people of prayer, people of worship, people of being in His presence, people that stand for the truth, because we're just going to transition into the age to come, into what's going to take place. And right now, if you want to read Revelations 4 and 5, it's going on in heaven. The very thing that we want to set in this room right here is going on in heaven, which is prayer and worship continually before the Lord. To make this a house of prayer that's established for God's glory. To make this a house of prayer for the sake of many families, so that the light of the Lord and the presence of God, the reason we have a house of prayer, the reason the temple is called a house of prayer and is so important, so people can walk in off the street and encounter God and His presence. That's why it's so important to have this. It's so important to have a house of prayer in your home, so that your family can encounter His presence. And we're going to talk more and more about this. I'm excited about it. God's spoken some strong things here lately. So in some geographical regions, righteousness will increase. And in others, as I said earlier, darkness will increase. God's raising up leaders to bring reform to the church, to bring change to the church. I really mean that. He's raising up young leaders and middle-aged leaders and old leaders to bring reform to the church, change to the church in the place of love, and to society and many different other places. And you're going to see where truth and continual prayer and worship go forth. You can put up on the screen Hebrews 12, 26 and 27. This is where it's spoken about the wheat and the tares. The wheat is representative of righteousness, and the tares, wickedness. And they're going to grow together. They're going to mature together at the end of the age. And Jesus is not coming, as I said earlier, to end the world. But here is what He's coming to do. He's coming to complete the reformation that we will begin. Let me say that again. He's coming to complete the reformation that we will begin as a people. What God's Word says is that you and I, if this is the age that we think we're living in, if this is the time that we think we're living in, that things are lining up for the return of Jesus, that means we are going to experience the greatest reformation that's ever taken place, the greatest harvest that's ever taken place, the greatest power of God's Spirit that's ever taken place, the greatest healing that's ever taken place, the greatest evangelism that's ever taken place on the earth is going to take place. And we're part of that. And that's what we're contending for. And so if that's true, which I believe that it is, that means it's just a continuation of reformation into the great reformation of Jesus into the millennial reign. That's why it's so important that a house of prayer is established for the glory of God. You'll see even more as we continue on to complete it. He will do this by shaking everything that can be shaken. so that the works are founded on His words, and only His words, only His truth remains when everything is shaken. In Hebrews it says, He has promised, saying, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made. That means anything that is initiated by the flesh and living in the flesh and moving in the flesh, working in the flesh, everything, that is going to be shaken and moved away. But the things which cannot be shaken will remain. And what remains is a man and a woman living in the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit that's completely lovesick with Jesus. That's what remains. That's what's coming. That's what's here. And that's what He's asking of you and I. This is a real happening experience that is going to take place on the earth. In Nehemiah chapter 13, it is a powerful chapter. I'm not going to be able to cover it all this morning, but I want to cover it, and I plan on doing that, making sure over the next 2 weeks. But if you look at Nehemiah 13, it's almost like a blueprint that's been laid out of truths that are necessary for people like you and I that are called reformers to stand in the truth and be messengers. And I'll tell you what, Nehemiah was a tough guy. He was a tough guy. He wasn't walking sometimes, I think, and he was moving by God, no doubt. But the Holy Spirit, as far as living in him and grace, and he was a little short on some grace, okay, but he was a bold man. I'll get to that in a little bit. You'll understand when you read the chapter. Oh, that's what Bob's talking about. But anyway, Nehemiah 13 is that Reformation chapter. And this is so important that you get this today. This is probably going to hit some of you real tough in the heart. I know it's hit me. It says, we only have authority to release or impart to others what we walk out in our private lives. We only can impart the authority to others that we walk out in our private lives. We have no authority to bind in our prayers and public ministry that which binds us in our private lives. The unreformed saint in an unreformed church cannot establish godly reforms in society. You just can't do it. You won't be able to stand in your authority. From God's point of view, I'm going to hit here in a few minutes about the house of prayer, but from God's point of view, the house of prayer or the temple of the Lord in the past, in the present, and in the future is a house of prayer. Do you agree with that? Okay, I'm going to help you. Didn't get a big shout on that one. Isaiah referred to the temple as the house of prayer. Isaiah 56:7. And Jesus also called it the house of prayer. Again, the purpose of the house of prayer is for people to encounter God in worship. And that's what we're doing. We want people to encounter Him. And just because we had a period of time that we kind of had a lot going on and then there seems to be a break, God's bringing people back and reestablishing people in His house. It never ends with God. It may end with us and we may get tired and we may get off track, but it never ends with God. And my heart and the heart of this leadership team and people here in this ministry is to make sure that God has a house that's established and His presence is residing in that house. For the sake of the families, for the sake of the region called Michiana. Amen. Woo! Amen. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, Isaiah 56:7. Jesus went into the temple. My house shall be called a house of prayer. It said that the zeal for His Father's house burned within Him. And that's what was happening to Nehemiah, a prophet in the Old Testament. He was bold because he also had that same zeal for God's house. Nehemiah and Ezra and many others during that time period. I'm going to tell you a little story about Nehemiah. How many of you probably know him as a prophet who built the wall? But let me just share a few things with you about him. And again, you may say, well, you know, that's good, but man, I really need this or that in my life. Well, this whole purpose of sharing this story with you is because we're contending for something that would cause you to encounter God more than you ever have. Because there's more coming than ever has been. Okay? Than ever has happened. It's coming. And let me tell you, you can trust Jesus because Jesus doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. And he wants your faith to arise and believe that these things are about to happen. He wants your faith to arise. He wants you to be a man of faith, a reformer, a man and woman who stand in truth. That's what he desires. Nehemiah, pretty radical story about this guy. First of all, it goes all the way back. There's a lot to be said, but it goes all the way back to Jeremiah when he prophesies to the nation of Israel. And he says, you guys are going to go into captivity, and you're going to be there for 70 years. Great prophecy, huh? You're going to go there for 70 years, and you're going to be in captivity. Then God is going to release you, and he's going to allow you to come back to the land. By the way, it takes about 7 months to where you're going in captivity. So about 7 months to walk there, and they're in Babylonian captivity. And then in 70 years, finally the Persians overwhelm the Babylonians, and they take total control, and now they are in that position, and there's a king called Cyrus, and matter of fact, in Isaiah, it says that he's a shepherd from God. Pretty wild that this heathen king, that God's going to use him. And so anyway, Cyrus gives them the funding to leave, to let them go from captivity, the people are in captivity, to go back to the land of Israel and establish the temple and build it. So Nehemiah is part of that. Ezra's part of it. There's a whole group of folks that are part of it. And so, long story short, Nehemiah spends 12 years building the wall and establishing the temple of the Lord. Listen to this. He gets the singers and the musicians. He gets all the covenants that are necessary, and he lays them out. And again, these covenants are Old Testament covenants, but the principles remain the same in the New. And you'll see what I'm talking about. So 12 years they established this place, and it's exciting. They have a celebration. All the singers and musicians are ministering in the house of the Lord. All the things are laid out for it to function. The people are tithing and giving into a worship prayer movement that's happening right there in Jerusalem. All the things are lining up. 12 years, so he leaves, and he goes back because he was a governor in Persia. He goes back. Him and Zerubbabel. And he goes back. And when he goes back, he stays for about 10 years. He's gone. And then he comes back to Jerusalem unannounced. And he shows up, and everything has fallen away. Everything. And we'll get to that story just in a minute. So, the reason I'm talking about this is because from God's point of view, the temple in the past and the future is his house of prayer. At the end of this age, Satan will no longer be running governments. God will be. The enemy always, just like in Nehemiah's day, wants to take control of God's people and the house of the Lord. There's always going to be that battle. At the center of God's plans, as it was in that day, as it is in this day, the plans for the Reformation is the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord, again, is a worship center that connects heaven and earth. Read Revelations 4 and 5. Jot that down. It has continuity with the worship center in the millennial reign. I've said that. Zechariah 6:13. I won't read it today. It's used to release power. I shared with you the story. In the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah, all of Israel, this is found in Nehemiah 12:47, all of Israel brought in their portions, their finances, to singers and gatekeepers. Those gatekeepers are support ministries, are intercessors, everybody that had anything to do, and they all had a portion for the day. When Nehemiah finished it the first time, there was a covenant with God to obey his commandments that all the people made, as I said in the story. And they all basically came into agreement, and they even did this. You'll see in the scripture, that they even said, Lord, if we don't stay with these commandments or these covenants, then we ask for you to curse us. That's what they did. There's four specific commands in this national covenant of Israel that was positioned by Nehemiah, and as he heard from the Lord. Number one, I'll have all the references for you in the scripture. They promised not to marry unbelievers, to uphold godly standards in families. That was the first thing, to not marry unbelievers. This is what brought the blessing. They made a covenant to not marry unbelievers. Number two, they covenanted to keep the Sabbath, basically to honor that sacred time with God. To honor the sacred time with God. That's not just on Sundays. It's all through the week. We'll talk more about that. Number three, listen to this. They committed to financially support corporate worship. They committed to financially support corporate worship. That singers and musicians would be positioned at their post in the house of the Lord to minister to God day and night, night and day. And that they would be paid and that all their needs would be taken care of. It's a little different than today, isn't it? It has huge significance when we take singers and musicians and we take the marketplace businesses that are represented here in this place and all those that attend to tithe in so that we can establish a house of prayer for the glory of God. When the vision is right before the Lord, the money comes in massive blessing. And the Lord is positioning us back into that place to establish His house, to give Him honor and glory, and to sow in to those who are called to minister to God day and night, night and day. That's what He's doing. That's how we maintain light in a region. That's how we maintain light for our families. God is setting us up and positioning us to be a frontline kingdom culture, to be connected to this Michiana region, and to bring light day and night, night and day, to the throne of God, which is going on in heaven even right now. The fourth thing is that they would refuse to have unholy alliances, or I would say this, significant partnerships with unbelievers. Now, this is huge. Why did Nehemiah define and emphasize these four areas? These represent themes that are emphasized in the Word and by the Spirit in bringing reformation to individuals, churches, cities, and nations. These truths equip us to be messengers, faithful witnesses, and social reformers. To not marry unbelievers. Why do they do that? We'll see in a little bit. It had nothing to do with different races or ethnic groups. It had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with that when they would marry other, you'll see in the scripture, they married other women that were not of the faith. They worshipped other gods, and their children were raised up and couldn't even speak, didn't even know the Jewish language, and couldn't even hear what was being said in the temple, and couldn't even participate. And God said, you'll have nothing with that. Well, this is one of those truths that's hard to hold on to. But today, do we really embrace that truth? How do we let our children walk? Do we let them walk in the ways of the world, or do we let them walk in the ways of the Word? Do we stand firm? Do we love them firm? And God's saying that these are truths that help us move forward. And so I believe that God is like bringing that to the forefront, and I think it's huge. When they signed this covenant, they ended in a national celebration before Nehemiah took off. And then again, he went back, he left, and he did return to Jerusalem. It's about 10 years. The scripture kind of points that out. 7 months to walk it. Nehemiah, he confronted these issues. And when he came back and saw that things were out of whack, he took bold action to reverse what was taking place throughout the entire nation. It was unpopular for him to come back. Matter of fact, oh no, he's back again. It was costly to him. But the truths in Nehemiah 13, I believe, can relate to every believer in this place at one point in our life or another. Every one of you in this room have a sphere of influence. You do. Might even be just one or two people, but you have an influence. And God is saying for you to stand for the truth. Stand for what is right. Now let's begin to look at Nehemiah 13. I'm going to go through a few verses here, starting at the beginning. I'm going to be looking at verses 4 through 8. It's going to have that up on the screen. Nehemiah is confronting the ungodly alliances. He's also confronting significant partnerships that aren't working for God. When it says partnerships and unholy alliances, if you have to work for someone that isn't a Christian, that's a whole different story, okay? But if you are a leader and you own your own business, you need to be very careful about having unholy alliances with other people that don't live in the ways of God. You better be very careful if you call yourself a man or a woman of God. I've got a testimony on some of those things in the past. You need to be on the same page. You need to have a holy alliance, not an unholy alliance with people that you go in partnership or businesses with. I've heard so many stories from that, and it really holds true. So refusing ungodly alliances in the work of God, that's a biggie. And again, it includes businesses and ministry, also ministry. Israel had committed to God to not allow people of other faiths to participate in the temple celebrations. Eliashib violated this commitment by giving Tobiah, the Amorite, a residential suite in the temple. Let me read this for you. Eliashib, the priest, having authority, verse 4, over the storerooms of the house of our God, was allied with Tobiah. And this guy is an Amorite. And he had prepared for him a large room where previously they had stored the tithes, where the tithes went, which were commanded to be given to the Levites, the singers. But during all this, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year, it says, I had returned to the king. Then after the certain days, I came to Jerusalem and discovered the evil that this priest, Eliashib, had done for Tobiah. And Nehemiah says, and it grieved me bitterly. Therefore, I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. Check this out. He shows up. He goes. He walks into the temple, and nobody's singing. There's no singers anymore. Nobody's there. Where's the tithes and the offerings? And they walk back. He walks back, and he sees Tobiah, an Amorite, set up house in the temple of the Lord. And Tobiah and Sanballat, when you read the story, they were at huge odds with Nehemiah and Zerubbabel and Ezra. They were at huge odds with them. So the guy that was against them, and listen to this. This Tobiah, they had and Sanballat, they were financially well off. And so they had deals and things going on with the priests and with the people, an unholy alliance. And so what did he do? He gave the most holy place. He lets Tobias go in there and set up a house in there, or set up an apartment. So what does Nehemiah do? This is a rowdy guy. He's bold. And everybody knows probably that he's back in town now, right? So he's back in town, and he goes and he grabs all his stuff and throws it out in the street. I like that guy. I mean, he's bold. Now, he does some crazy things at the end. We won't get there till next week, but he's bold. And what it reminds me of is when Jesus drove out the money changers in the temple with the whip. It reminds me of that moment, because the zeal inside Nehemiah burned within him for the house of the Lord. And some of you in this place right now are burning with a zeal for the house of God. Or you have burned, or you will burn. Because you'll understand that God's government flows through the house of the Lord. I rejoiced when we started worship this morning. I rejoiced that Janet sang that song. I rejoiced that we just flowed freely in worship and had really no game plan
The first song was supposed to be the offering song. I rejoiced because what's going on in Revelations 4 and 5, in a twinkling of an eye, and I knew what she was thinking, and I was thinking it too, that in a twinkling of an eye, Dave Norris was in the presence of the Almighty God in that worship place. And so when she sang that song, it just messed me up completely, as I know it was tough for her to make it through it. I thought of you, Josh Vita, singing that song. You see, every one of us have a song, everybody in this room. You may not sing like Janet or Josh or others, but you've got a song. And the enemy is trying to keep you away from it. And I'm going to tell you what he's done. My wife was going to get up here and share, and she will very soon, her and I together again, sharing. But she was going to get up here and share something that she's received and she's read. And what it is, there is an onslaught of the enemy to attack your mind and attack your bodies like never before, because he knows what's coming. To attack your emotions. To push you away from being who you're called to be. If you respond rightly, what that will do is cause you to embrace the cross and humble yourself even more and come back an overcomer, a champion, and a reformer. That's what it will do. And that's God's plan. I don't care what age, I don't care where you've been. God, you are not written off by the Almighty God. And when you come back, you're going to be humble. You're going to be different, but you're going to have authority. You're going to be bold. And you're going to stand for truth, even when it's not popular. And you can see the writing on the wall. It's coming more and more to stand for truth. Tobiah, check this out. He gave political and economic favor to nobles of Judah who made pledges to him, the unholy alliance. He set it up. The enemy set him up. Nehemiah 6, 17, 19, it says, in those days, the nobles of Judah, the leadership of Judah, sent many letters to Tobiah, for many in Judah were pledged to him. There's the unholy alliance. They were pledged to something other than God's house and God's covenants and God's ways. They reported his good deeds before me. Well, I'm going to kind of close here. I don't want to close. I'm just getting started. I got to pick just a couple things and I'll do the rest. Nehemiah 13, 10, 12. I don't want to rush it. I want to bask in it. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about how Nehemiah confronted the lack of financial support for corporate worship in his day, and how powerful that was in the eyes of God, and how powerful that was with them. And he demanded that they financially support singers to minister to God as an occupation. Wow. He commanded it, that Israel provide financially for the singers to lead worship in their occupation. And all the gatekeepers, that means all the support group, everybody, intercessors, people that do book, everyone, the whole church supported it. So that God could be worshipped. 4,000 musicians, 288 singers. David provided financial support for them. I believe God is going to raise up this house of prayer. There's so much that I can tie into this. And he's going to raise up marketplace ministries that are going to sow into this place. I'm not one for raising support. I'm not saying it's bad. It's okay if you can do it. There's some people that support us, my wife and I and family, from time to time. There's nothing wrong with that. But I believe that God is going to raise up a marketplace businesses that are going to support this ministry like never before. And guess what is going to happen? You're going to be a recipient of that. Because if it's according to God and according to his ways, the presence of God is going to be sweet in this place wherever we go. There's going to be an open heaven over it. And then things are going to begin to break forth. There is going to be an open heaven. Where worship, listen to this, and I'll have this all in the notes. With the worship movement that is connecting with the worship movement in heaven, and to the age to come. A worship and prayer movement is what God wants. And I went as far as saying this. I believe that it's top priority that all believers sustain the worship movement in this day. Not just the building, to have a cool building. I think that's why we're even here. But you need to know, if you get anything this morning, what I just said about sustaining worship and prayer day and night, night and day, this is a timeless principle of God. When I say timeless, it goes all into the millennial reign. It's up in heaven right now, Revelations 4 and 5. It's timeless. And that's why there's so much resistance against it. You know, when Nehemiah came back after about 10 years, 12 years, he put his heart and soul into establishing something and had success. And after 10 years, he comes back and there's no music in the house. Everything has changed. I don't know why he had to leave, but he comes back. And you know what? Most guys probably would have said, you know what? I have put my heart and soul into this thing for 12 years. And this is what you do. This is how you treat it. I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm going back. Right? It would have been, most men would have been just like, forget it. But not him. Think about it. He just took 7 months to walk there. Where have you walked? It took 7 months. He had to be pretty wore out. He had to be older. I'm older now. I don't have quite as much energy as I had back then in that first 12-year thing. And he could have said, I'm gone. Let them live in their lack of being, of not being in covenant with God. But no, he didn't. He rolled up his sleeves and he went to work and he trusted God. This is happening. This is not, and if for some of you that need to have your mind cleaned of this, this is not a Kansas City thing. This is a God thing from time past to time present to time future. Do you get it? It's never going to end. And Jerry Reeder did an amazing study for those of you that want to study the word out on this. Every time the temple was positioned, Israel lived in blessing. Every time it wasn't, they lived in devastation and were taken into captivity. So, what do you think God's saying to every one of you and me? If you establish your lives on the truths and the covenants of the Lord, and you live and you sow in to a place of prayer and worship, and you become part of that. And let me tell you, I'm not trying to get you in here to this place. That'll be the Lord's doing. Because these places are going to open up all over because of God's heart for his people. And when stuff starts hitting the fan, this will be a very popular place. You don't have to come here and be anything. You can come here and dwell and listen and read. You don't have to do anything. And if the Lord prompts you to start praying, whatever, do it. If the Lord prompts you to have that light in your home and have a little house of prayer in your home, do it. Do whatever you need, because Jesus had a lot of zeal for it. He had a lot of zeal for it. And he had a lot of zeal for it because it was doing what? It was honoring his Father. We honor the Father, we honor the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we connect with God, and God begins to work and say and do little things in our lives. You don't have authority in an area if you don't have that authority in your private life. You can't bind if those things aren't bound. God is raising up people to be wholehearted messengers. And I believe you're in the room today. And God's calling you to be a messenger. He's calling you to be a reformer. Start reading about reformers. People that stood. And you know what? Sometimes we try to fit in so that we feel like this is good. I'm fitting in now. Don't worry about fitting in. Let God cause you to fit into what he has for you and be what he has that fits for you. Don't try to fit in. Okay? Don't try. Don't let anybody take away and rob you. I've allowed it to happen in my life, my intimacy with Christ. I've gotten weary just like you have. I've gotten tired just like you have. I've had pity parties just like probably some of you have. I won't put that on anybody. But I've had to just stir myself back up. I've had to weep and cry and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. And when you repent and when you make things right with God, you can begin to move in all that he has for you. When you wait and you listen for his voice and you wait and you listen for the Holy Spirit to speak and you slow your mind down just enough where you can begin to hear the voice of God and the refreshing and the blessing that it brings, just a little moment, almost like you can run on that few for two weeks. Well, what if it was something that you did every day? God wants you to live by faith and wants your faith to arise to believe and to know that there's great things on the way for you. And you don't let anybody lie to you and you don't let the enemy lie to you. You don't let numbers lie to you. Because when God has something, he's going to complete it and he's going to do it. As long as the people are dying to self and saying yes to the vision that God has. All of you are wonderfully made in the ways of God. All of you have a song. All of you have a gift. All of you need not do church. All of you need to be the church. But you know that. And guess what? Not on your terms. On his. I want to be a listener. I want to hear. I need to hear. You need to hear. We all need to hear. So, why don't you stand? Just say a prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Nehemiah's boldness. I thank you that these Old Testament covenants, we know that you came to fulfill the law, but we know that the principles are there that are still a part of your heart. And so, Lord, we ask that our hearts would be touched with your word today, that the vision would arise for your house and for singers and musicians. We thank you for the ones that are here, that have been here, that have stayed, that went the test of time. We thank you for all the new ones that are coming. We thank you for the new stones that are going to build it and the burnt stones that are coming back. So, Lord, I thank you today that decisions could be made in this place right now to be messengers, to be reformers. So, Lord, if there's anyone right now that is feeling that way and knowing that you've called them to stand for truth in the midst of great opposition, I ask, Lord, that you would strengthen them right now by your Holy Spirit. Let them know it on the inside, Lord. Overcome them and overwhelm them with your love. Let them know that they're not alone. Let them know that God is raising up a culture of light. We pray, Lord, that Michiana would be a refuge. We pray, Lord, that your light would arise in this region. That darkness would not overwhelm us or overcome us. We pray it in Jesus' holy name. So we surrender, Lord, today. We ask you to consume us as we surrender to you and your love. May this word run swiftly in all of us. And as we read Nehemiah 13 and really flow through it next week. And Lord, I pray that you would bring everyone that's been a part of the house of prayer or that wants to be back next Sunday morning and Tuesday night to hear more and more about your eternal house of prayer. We thank you, Lord. May this become a dynamic place of encounter for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Go in peace. And hopefully that word resonates with you. Read Nehemiah chapter 13. And watch having your own opinion. And let God begin to shape your opinion and your heart. Receive the truth and begin to walk within it. In Jesus' name, amen.